Good morning. It is time to get up with Klay Thompson. Oh, no. Just as he's ready to return, he goes down and he may well be out. Whoa, as the very latest right off the top. Then, tonight, they go head-to-head. Kyler versus Russell with everything at stake. Going to be great. We'll get you ready. And then, Jeffy is here to say, not so fast, my friend, on the one move this weekend that seemed like a stone-cold lead pipe lock. All that and more as we get up with you on a jam-packed Thursday starting right now from the Seaport. I'm Greeny and delighted you are here and the football crew is ready to go. Let me show you who we have today. It's going to be spectacular as we bring in D. Wood. Shefty is already working the phone. Lewis Riddick is here and Neek is ready to go. All that and more. But we begin with a developing story this morning and it's not good. Just hours before the NBA draft last night, Klay Thompson injured his right leg during a workout with several NBA players in LA. He will undergo an MRI this morning. Here's what General Manager Bob Myers said last night.
I don't know. We'll see. You can be hopeful. You can be concerned. Probably all those things combined. As far as I know, he's playing basketball. And I don't know who with. I think just playing basketball, probably like a lot of these guys are trying to get ready for the season.
Klay, of course, missed all of last year after the ACL injury he suffered in the finals the year before. Here are Tim Legler and Adrian Wojnarowski getting up with us early here today. Guys, thanks. Woj, what can you tell us? What do we know about this injury?
Greeny, lower right leg. There's certainly a significant amount of concern among the Warriors. I talked to his agent, Greg Lawrence, last night, and they're going to have that imaging this morning, West Coast time. You'll see some of the Warrior personnel, front office, medical staff coming down to be there, his agent there. And they're going to get a better sense of the severity of this injury. The torn ACL injury was on his left knee that caused him to miss all of last season. This is a right leg injury.
So it's not the same leg. That's not necessarily any indication of how severe it may or may not be, but just to sort of underline this for those who weren't following it last night, the vibe I was clearly getting from you and others covering the story was that the level of concern that this is something very serious is significant. We don't want to read too much into it, but am I getting that part of it right?
Yeah, there's a significant level of concern, but listen, could it be at best a strained calf? At worst, is it in the Achilles area? And so that's why they'll get in there today. They'll do the imaging, and they'll find out for sure.
All right, so Tim Legler, let's sort of look at this from a bigger picture basketball perspective. If Klay were to miss significant time here, if this is a long-term injury, and again, we can all hope that it isn't, but what would that mean for the Warriors' championship window?
Well, my direct answer to that question would be I think it's still open, Greeny. I think I'm less concerned about Klay Thompson potentially missing another year in terms of just guys getting a little bit older, Steph and Draymond both in their early 30s. I'm not as concerned about that. I'm more concerned about what is he going to be like coming back from now, potentially another dreaded basketball injury. That's what you're concerned about. And now on each leg. So let's see what Klay Thompson looks like, a year from now, if that's how long he's out. And again, we're still waiting to hear the results of that. I still think the window is open, and the main reason is because when you look around the NBA, there is only one team right now that definitively you can say it looks like they're put together to win a title, and that's the Lakers. I think there are questions about virtually every other team in the NBA. So if this means that the Warriors getting back together is delayed a little bit longer, so be it. I still have enough belief in Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and if Klay eventually comes back, adding James Wiseman, I still think this team will be in the championship mix eventually.
Okay, so let's leave that there for the moment. Again, we do not know, and there's no reason to really speculate. We'll find out later today exactly what they know about the injury. You mentioned Wiseman. Let's get to the draft. NBA draft last night. And at number one, the Minnesota Timberwolves, no surprise, took Anthony Edwards. He is the fifth SEC player drafted first overall since 2010, coming out of Georgia. The Warriors, as you mentioned, take James Wiseman, number two. He played just three games in college, the second fewest of any top five pick out of college in the one-and-done era. And then LaMelo Ball, as basketball has taken him all over the world, and now he's headed to Charlotte to play for Michael Jordan. The Hornets make him the third pick in last night's draft. So, Woj, let me come back to you. Wiseman, the Klay injury, the news of that starts circulating like an hour and a half before the draft started last night. So how did the injury impact the Warriors' decision to take Wiseman at number two?
Greeny, it didn't impact it. And they were making a decision with the Warriors between James Wiseman and LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball made a really strong impact on them. But this is a long-range decision, and especially that high up in the draft, you know, you're picking the player that you think has, you know, the best upside to impact your franchise. They really liked James Wiseman. Now, certainly he fits a positional need for this team in the middle, but it's such a long-term view when you're picking, especially that high in the draft. It was not impacted by what had happened with Clay and the uncertainty surrounding his potential injury.
Let's talk about it. The kid is 7-1. Jay Billis said yesterday, 5 years ago, he would have been a lock to be the first pick in a draft. Tim Legler, how do you like the fit? What do you think he brings to Golden State?
Yeah, I love the fit. And I think the fact that they didn't really even flinch on taking Wiseman, despite what they are fearing about Klay Thompson and thinking they maybe need more wing firepower, they didn't hesitate. They went with Wiseman because he fills an obvious need. And you look at all the role players that they've really had at the center position with this group during this championship run. He is significantly better than those guys. You're talking about a guy that not only can run and jump, protect the rim, all those things you're going to hear about. He's actually pretty capable in the low post, and he can make a mid-range jump shot. This is a very complete offensive player, and I'm picturing him in that motion offense with Golden State, where there's so much attention paid to Steph Curry and on the perimeter, and all of those gaps and seams that Wiseman is going to have available to him on slips and dives and on the offensive glass. This guy is going to be a showstopper at times. I think the Golden State Warriors did the right thing by filling a need for a big-time, potential franchise-type big man.
All right, we will have much more on the NBA as we continue. There was some more wheeling and dealing that we will get to. But I just want to say it because I know everybody watching is thinking it. That is a very festive backdrop you have there, Tim Legler. I think we are all impressed.
It's a lot of work. So I'm getting my use out of this stuff. Are you kidding me? This goes up early, and it stays up a long time, Greeny, let me tell you.
All right, no one loves the holidays more than Tim Legler does. Regardless of the holiday, he's ready to go. Guys, thank you both for getting up early here. We're coming back to both of you as we continue. Meanwhile, to the NFL, and we're calling this rematch weekend. Let's call it payback weekend. Starts with the Ravens hosting the Titans. Baltimore had MVP Lamar Jackson. They were 14-2 last year. He lost at home to Tennessee in the playoffs. The Chiefs cruising along at 8-1 this year. Their one loss to the Raiders at home in week 5. They rematch on Sunday night in Vegas. And Seattle, 5-0 before losing a thriller to Arizona a month ago. They've now lost 3 out of 4. They host the Cardinals tonight. First place in the NFC West is at stake. All those and many more. And Shefty, I'm starting with you as we look ahead to this game because there are a lot of notes, as there always are on Thursday nights, with injuries. What do we have?
Tyler Lockett, the Seahawks wide receiver, is listed as questionable. Pete Carroll, the Seahawks coach, said yesterday he thinks Lockett will play, and that's my understanding as well, that he'll be out there tonight despite being limited in practice this week with a knee injury. You remember the game that Lockett had against the Cardinals the last time was hugely effective. The Seahawks are looking for more out of that tonight. Again, this team has turned over the football. Having Lockett out there would help. Chris Carson, listed as questionable. My understanding is he's unlikely to play. He's missed the last 3 games. This would be the 4th straight game he would be missing with a foot injury. On the flip side, Carlos Hyde off the injury report. So if Carson can't go, Carlos Hyde, along with Alex Collins, would step in there and be the Seahawks running backs tonight against Arizona, Greeny.
They've had all kinds of running back issues over the last few weeks. All right, Neek, I'm coming to you. This game is so interesting in so many different ways. What is the number one thing you're looking for tonight?
I think Kyler Murray really has a measuring stick right now because of Russell Wilson on the other side. Russell Wilson is the guy that Kyler Murray is compared to most because of their height and somehow and somewhat of their playing ability. And I think that Kyler Murray has really great opportunity coming off of that great Hail Mary. He has everyone's attention to be in prime time and to go up against, frankly, a pretty bad defense. Kyler Murray could really cement his MVP candidacy and get himself a lot of attention and a lot of new fans tonight in prime time against a bad defense, while we'll be looking at Russell Wilson on the other side doing a more advanced, a more developed version of what Kyler Murray is doing. He might come out of tonight as one of the MVP front runners, even though right now he's in the conversation.
I don't know if you meant to say that Russell Wilson is his measuring stick or not, but it brought a smile to my face, whether you did that purposely or not. Either way, Lewis Riddick, as we look at Russell Wilson, I mean, 3 weeks ago, every conversation here started with, well, Russell Wilson is on his way to being the MVP of the league. And a strange thing has happened over the last month or so. What are you looking for tonight?
I'm just looking to see if they can have any semblance of balance, Greeny, on the offensive side of the ball, so it doesn't get so far out of whack like it has recently as far as their rush percentage. I mean, right now they're throwing the ball well over 60% of the time because of the fact that, one, they know that every possession they have to make count. Two, the defense can't stop anybody. Three, the running game has kind of faltered due to injury and due to attrition. And now, so everything is on Russell Wilson. Everything is on DK Metcalf. Everything is on Tyler Lockett. So I'm just wondering if they can have any kind of balance at all so Russell doesn't feel as though every play is do or die. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens when that's the scenario. He starts forcing footballs. They start, you know, subjecting themselves to turnovers, and then they have no shot. So that's really what I want to see, because if they get in a shootout with this team against Arizona, who has a much better defense, then they're going to lose the game. I just want to see if they can have any kind of balance at all and see if Carlos Hyde can kind of pick up the ball for Chris Carson.
How do you see it, Chefty? It's a critical game, obviously. There's a three-way tie right now at the top of that division. The Rams will play on Monday night. Lewis, you have that game, and we'll talk about it further. But this one obviously has a lot at stake. How do you see it, Chefty?
Well, amazing how it all fits together, according to what Lewis is saying, right? Again, Chris Carson's injury. Over the last 3 weeks, Russell Wilson has turned over the football more than anybody in football at this point in time. And so the lack of the running game has led to all the turnovers that has led to this team suddenly stumbling. But the fact of the matter is still that this division, the NFC West, is as strong as basically any division in all of football, and this division very well could produce at least three playoff teams, especially with the expanded playoff field of seven teams in each conference, potentially even eight if the league has to expand later. But this tonight, I think, is a preview of two teams headed to the playoffs.
Yeah, some numbers on Wilson that are remarkable. He's thrown three interceptions in the end zone this year. He had never thrown more than one in any season before. Okay, so that's tonight's game. We have an eye on that. Meanwhile, the big story in the NFL this week, of course, involves the injury to Drew Brees and his ribs. Our Ed Werder reporting that after seeking a second opinion on the injury, the original diagnosis, collapsed lung, five fractured ribs, that was confirmed. Doctors have not yet determined a time frame for his return, according to Ed Werder. Again, we had heard that maybe the very optimistic side of this was 3 weeks. Others have said they think that more realistically is something more like 5 or 6 weeks. So, Shefty, is there any question that Jameis Winston becomes the starting quarterback for as long as Brees is out?
Yeah, there's a definite question about that, Greeny. And again, Sean Payton keeps telling us he hasn't made a decision. Why don't we believe him? They really like Taysom Hill. They really like Jameis Winston. There's support for both players. I would not just make the assumption that it's going to be Jameis Winston starting this weekend. Everybody seems to think that that's a foregone conclusion, and maybe ultimately it will be him. But Sean Payton himself has said, I have not made a decision yet. So again, if he hasn't made a decision yet, why can't we accept that as a fact? I actually have accepted that. And I don't think that it's a deadlock cinch that it's going to be Jameis Winston at this point in time. I think we need to be open-minded to the idea that based on what Sean Payton is saying, that it could be Taysom Hill. We know that they'd like to get him in there. So let's just see how this goes out and plays out over the course of the weekend. But there's an opportunity here for the Saints to see what they have in Taysom Hill, see what they have in Jameis Winston. Again, we've thought all along that this could very well be Drew Brees' last year, and now is a chance to win now and get a look into the future.
Listen, I'm asking for a friend here, but Jameis Winston was available on waivers in a fantasy league, and someone I know, namely me, might have just thrown him on his roster yesterday. So you're telling me starting him this weekend would feel like a very risky maneuver?
I don't know why you would start him yet, Greeny.
Okay, fair enough. You heard it right there from Shefty. I'm not going to lie to you. That just sent a little chill down my spine. Let me show you some numbers in the meantime here that I think you will find interesting. Hembo sent this out yesterday. Drew Brees was not Drew Brees as we know him until he teamed up with Sean Payton. People have labeled Jameis Winston this or that, unfixable. But if you look at his first 5 years and compare them to Drew Brees' first 5 years, the numbers are remarkably similar. Brees became the icon that we know when he got to New Orleans and teamed up with Sean Payton, which leads you to wonder, could Sean Payton work that kind of magic with a still young and obviously ridiculously talented player in Jameis Winston? And Dee Wood joins the conversation, but Lewis, I'll start with you. How do you see that? Do you see Sean Payton being able to work some magic and turning Jameis Winston into the player that we all can see he could potentially be?
Yeah, I wouldn't count it out. Look, this offense in New Orleans is all about efficiency. It's all about making quick reads, getting the ball out of your hands fast, putting the ball where it needs to be put, especially in the short and intermediate game, and then letting your playmakers go from there. Now, what's interesting is, you know, good old Hembo sent me some great statistics before the show started about the fact that, you know, Jameis, what he struggled with a year ago was his accuracy and his decision-making on the short to intermediate throws, which is where New Orleans lives philosophically, in the short to intermediate passing game. Now, how it is taught to you and how you are able to go through your progressions and then how it is corrected, obviously is going to be different between what he experienced in Tampa and what he experiences in New Orleans. And Sean Payton is the master. I mean, that's a great graphic right there as far as the influence that he had on Drew Brees. So I believe this is a good chance for Jameis Winston, provided the fact that he starts, although Adam Schefter seems to be throwing a lot of doubt in everybody's mind right now. But I think this is a great opportunity for him to show that, look, with high-quality quarterback tutoring, he can take his game to the next level. We'll see. But you know what? Sean Payton has told me the same thing about Taysom Hill. He believes he's a starter in this league. He's told me every time I've talked to him. So, Greeny, I'd be sweating a little bit if you're counting on Jameis Winston. Just a little.
Okay, so he's going back on the bench. That we have decided for certain, so we can move on. Thank you for taking care of that for me here. Meanwhile, D. Wood, I'm coming to you on this. Last year, Breeze got hurt. They went 5-0 without him with Teddy Bridgewater. As you look at their schedule, they have Atlanta this week, then the Broncos, then the Falcons again, then the Eagles. Do you see them being able to do this again? Can they go undefeated without Drew Breeze, especially when you take a look at their schedule this year?
Absolutely, Greeny. I think when you talk about the New Orleans Saints, they're one of the most well-rounded teams in the National Football League. We got, you know, when we watched them against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you saw all areas of their team flourish. Defensively, they were flying around. They were all over that Bucs offense. Offensively, I think Sean Payton is going to put whoever is at quarterback, whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, they're going to just have to manage the football game. Nobody can expect them to be Drew Brees out there, but they have enough firepower to manage this game. And when you have guys like Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, you know, those type of guys, those guys can make a ton of plays for you. So if those guys manage the game, like Lewis alluded to, this New Orleans Saints team, they could easily find themselves right at the top of the NFC.
Lewis, if you're preparing to play this team defensively this week, if you're the Falcons getting up against this team, and they're leaving that doubt in your mind as to who the quarterback is, and the two quarterbacks there can choose from could not be more different, right? The way Taysom Hill would play and the way Jameis Winston would play could not be more different. How are you preparing? Which one are you preparing for this week if you're Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm preparing for them to run the system, Greeny, that they've always run. That's what I'm preparing for. I'm preparing for the tendencies that Sean has shown, first and second down run pass, third down, how they like to attack in the red area. That's what, because I'm not going to go and just go through all those mental gymnastics to try and figure out, well, which guy is it going to be. But I am going to make sure that I prepare for all the type of slash plays that Taysom Hill runs in those specific situations. Now, if he gets in there on an every down basis, I'll deal with him as it comes. But I'm really preparing for the system, because the system is what works down there.
Lewis, it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that, because earlier this week, I had Raheem Morris on my podcast, and I said, how do you prepare for a Drew Brees-less New Orleans Saints team? Do you prepare for Jameis Winston? Do you prepare for Taysom Hill? And Raheem Morris said, I don't prepare for either one. I prepare for a Sean Payton-led offense. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how the Falcons have gone about it this week, because they don't know what they're going to get. They'll be ready for Winston. They'll be ready for Taysom Hill. But most important, they'll be ready for what Sean Payton has done through the years.
Okay, I have time to run the hurry up here, guys. Can I do it? Can I get Shefty through some of these other notes here? If we have time to do it, let me try and get that in. Cindy, let me know if we can. Let us run the hurry up. No, we don't have time for it now. Oh, it is coming. Okay, sorry. This is me producing the show from the chair, so everyone can yell at me when we get to the break. In the meantime, Cindy, let me know if you have it there. We will do it, and we'll run the hurry up, Shefty, through a couple of injuries. Let's do it. Let's start with the injury situation in Carolina. We have Bridgewater. We have Christian McCaffrey. What's the situation?
But he is not expected to play. It was interesting yesterday, Greeny, because the Panthers said he was out earlier in the morning, changed it to not expected to play. Whatever designation you want to use, Christian McCaffrey will not be out there. And the fact that he's not going to be out there, which they said on a Wednesday, I think, raises questions about whether he'll be out there next week as well.
And then how about the latest with the situation with Matt Stafford in Detroit, where he's got that thumb?
He was not practicing yesterday, but Matthew Stafford so rarely misses time. The expectation is he'll be out there on Sunday, despite the fact that he's been nursing a thumb injury, was not practicing yesterday, and so they'll need him out there against the injured Carolina Panthers as well.
All right, we will leave that there for the moment. And if it didn't seem as perfectly crisp as usual, then you can blame that one on me. Oh, the Giants situation. Shefty, what do we have on the Giants situation?
Well, the Giants fired their offensive line coach, Mark Colombo. He got into a verbal dispute yesterday with the head coach, Joe Judge, who has not been happy with the offensive line performance. My understanding is that basically Colombo was defending one of the offensive linemen. Judge didn't like it. This goes back a long time. They had a dispute. Colombo didn't like that Joe Judge wanted someone else working with him. End of relationship.
And so that's the way that one goes. Meanwhile, coming up, it's one of the weekend's most intriguing matchups. Are both Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield playing for their jobs? We'll talk about it. And then Kyler Murray can throw bombs like this, but he really misses that toss from second to first. Could he be the next Bo Jackson? We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN. Quit now. Are you gonna? We are back on Get Up. And Dominique, this is Justin Herbert yesterday sporting a brand new haircut. Your thoughts?
He looks so young. I mean, I feel like he wants to focus on his playbook right now. He doesn't have time to shampoo or condition. Just cut it off, go military style, focus, get some wins. That's what we're going to put a positive spin on this unfortunate decision that he made.
He's a terrific young player. If you just saw that picture and didn't know who he was, you would think he was 14 years old. All right, we will take a short break and continue. Coming up, worse than the Jets? Yes, Damian Woody says there is a team that is in the playoff hunt whose future is worse than the Jets. You'll hear who next. Come on, get up. We are back on Get Up, and the big story hours before the NBA draft last night, Klay Thompson injured his right leg during a workout with several NBA players in LA. He'll undergo an MRI this morning. The Warriors are worried it could be an Achilles tendon injury. Here was reaction yesterday from Stephen A.
Nightmarish. This is nightmarish. All championship hopes are out the window. You need both. You can't have Klay without Steph. You can't have Steph without Klay and talk championship. You can talk playoffs. You can talk excitement. You can talk box office appeal. But you can't talk championship having one without the other.
So we are going to get the results of an MRI later this morning, and we will know all the details. Meanwhile, we'll have much more on this and the draft. Jay Williams live off the top of our next hour. Jalen Rose, 9:30 Eastern. Be with us as this day continues. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. We go either or on some of the better games this weekend. D. Wood, I'm starting with you. Who you got for a big night? Aaron Donald or Tom Brady?
Oh, Greeny, I'm going with Aaron Donald. We know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their interior, their offensive line, they've done some reshuffling, and you're going to do that against maybe the best player in the National Football League, and Aaron Donald, he's going to be bringing pressure right up the gut, and that's exactly where Tom Brady hates pressure, right up the middle. So I'm going with Aaron Donald.
Next up, Lewis, Cam Newton going up against Deshaun Watson. Who has the bigger day?
I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson because Deshaun Watson right now is playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL, and he's a guy who's playing in some adverse conditions, to say the least, down there in Houston. Now, if you talk to him, talking about which team am I going with, I'm going with the Patriots because I think they're going to go on a run. I think Bill Belichick is going to do one of his best coaching jobs that you've ever seen, and he kicked it off 2 weeks ago against the New York Jets and then followed it up last week against Baltimore. But Deshaun Watson, look, you're a hero in order to perform down there under the conditions you're performing in.
No question. Neek, how about this one? Carson Wentz or Baker Mayfield head-to-head? Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going Baker Mayfield in this particular matchup. Obviously, I like Carson Wentz better as a quarterback, but I think the Browns ask a lot less of Baker, and that running attack is really strong. So I think Baker performs well doing less, and Carson struggles again because they ask him to do so much, and he expects so much from himself.
I like the way you put that. The fact that you said obviously, as though it should be obvious that Wentz is so much better than Baker. Well, just take a look at these numbers. Since Mayfield got drafted, again, onto a winless team, his stat lines are not that far different from Carson Wentz, including the records. All of it is nearly identical. Obviously, the biggest difference here is the contractual situation between the two. And for that, let's come out and talk. The biggest difference between these two is that Carson Wentz's contract says he's the quarterback of the Eagles for the foreseeable future. In Cleveland, Dominique, and we've talked about this a lot, they will have to make a decision after this season on whether or not to pick up his fifth-year option. The way it's trending, if you were making the call, Neek, what would you do?
I mean, I think I pick up the option because the unknown scares me, and I doubt that they'll be in a position to draft a quarterback. If they were really, really bad, then I would probably bank on going to the draft because it seems like that so many young quarterbacks come in are incredibly productive very early, but I wouldn't count on them being near the top of the draft to be able to do that. So you extend the fifth-year option, which just gives you probably next year and the year after with Baker, and then you don't make any long-term commitments, and maybe you look elsewhere because there will be some veteran quarterbacks available in free agency this offseason. But you go ahead and do that fifth-year option to secure someone who at least seems like a reasonable starter in this situation and is coming into his own in this Stefanski-based offense.
What do you think, Lewis? As the way teams are handling that fifth-year option now, we saw Chicago not do it with Mitchell Trubisky. It's not as expensive as it used to be, obviously, to keep these guys around. How do you see it in Cleveland there?
Yeah, I think, depending upon what their expectations are for the position, I think that will drive the bus on whether or not they go ahead and pick up the fifth-year option. Because, look, this offense is very much so trending the same way that you see the offense trending in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, right? It's a very run-centric offense to where they don't want to put a whole lot on the quarterback, per se, as far as the number of times he's throwing the football. So I think given that, given the fact that they have one of the most explosive running games in the NFL, does Baker really need to be a 350-375-yard passing quarterback every week? Does he need to be a 4,000-yard-per-year passing quarterback? No, he doesn't. And if they're satisfied with the kind of efficiency, I think that's the key word, efficiency, that he allows this offense to operate with, then you go ahead and pick it up and you go ahead and move on down the road and build out the rest of the roster.
Are we getting any sense yet, Shefty, of what they're thinking in Cleveland long-term about that decision?
Well, a couple of things here, Greeny. Number one, as Hembo pointed out, every number one overall pick from 2011 through 2017 has had his fifth-year option picked up. So if the Browns weren't going to pick up Baker's fifth-year option, he would be the first draft pick, number one overall pick, since before 2011 to have that happen. Number two, we're in a different year, right? This is a new regime in Cleveland where Kevin Stefanski has taken over as the head coach and Andrew Berry has taken over as the general manager, and they didn't get an offseason together, and everybody's getting to know each other. And so this story is still being written right now. They don't have to make the decision today, and they're winning, and they're competing for a playoff spot, which is something we rarely talk about in Cleveland at this time of the year. So right now, I think all systems appear to be on track.
It is worth reminding everyone, Baker Mayfield took over a team that in the previous 2 years had been 1-31. So all things considered, it has not gone that badly. Okay, here it is. It's time now for our Thursday staple. It is time for this week's wood-based pun. D. Wood, every single week we seem to change the name of your segment.
This is knock on wood, damn it.
Taking him to the woodshed.
Greeny, how is that possible?
Firewood.
Your soul is mine.
This week it is the wood pile. Chopped wood.
Excuse me?
Sour wood. It is Woodstock. A very groovy feature this week. The neck of the woods.
Perfect distillation of how stupid TV is, and I love it.
So every week we have a different wood-based pun for Damian Woody. Oh, look how sharp that photo is there. This week it is Hollywood. So D. Wood, the lights shine brightest, of course, in Hollywood, as we all well know. So who are you putting under the spotlight this week?
Yeah, Greeny, I'm going to go with the kitty cats of the Midway. I can't call them the monsters of the Midway anymore. They're the kitty cats of the Midway, because when you lose four in a row, okay, lose four in a row, and your offense is on the Adam Gase type level, I can't give you Monster of the Midway type of moniker for the Chicago Bears. We're talking about a team in the Chicago Bears, all right, that averaged 15 yards per drive against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, last time I checked, the Minnesota Vikings didn't have the purple beeper eaters over there, and you averaged 15 yards per drive against the Minnesota Vikings, all right? This is a team in the Bears that are 31st in offense in the National Football League. Guess who's 32nd?
The New York Jets.
So yeah. You're talking about a guy, Matt Nagy, who's an offensive coach of the year, who can't get right. I'm calling him can't get right. He can't get right with any quarterback. I don't care if it's Mr. Trubisky, okay? I don't care if it's Nick Foles. He just can't get right. All right, so right now, they are the kitty cats of the Midway. And Greeny, you're going to like this. You're going to like this, Greeny.
Yeah.
Right now, if we're going to project out, I'm taking the Jets' future ahead of Chicago Bears right now. Yeah, Lewis. Don't roll your eyes, Lewis. Don't roll your eyes. I'm taking the Jets' future, long-term future, over the Chicago Bears. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have any assets. Their defense is the oldest in the National Football League. Yes, I know the Jets haven't won anything this year. So what? So what? Yeah, go ahead and drink your water, Lewis. You can drink your water, Mr. Personnel guy. But I'm telling you right now, I'm taking Gangrene's future over the Bears right now because they stink. The quarterback stinks. The coach can't coach up the quarterbacks. And I'm taking the Jets' future over what the Chicago Bears got going on right now.
Well, we can inject this conversation directly into my veins. I will tell you that. Lewis, go ahead.
Whatever, Woody. Whatever, man. You just sit. Whatever, man. Whatever. I don't even know what to say to you after all that. I mean, whatever, man. You just sat here and you just blasted your team, the Jets, week after week after week after week. I've seen your Twitter. I love your Twitter. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put you on notifications now because I love your Twitter so much. And all you do is talk about the fact that this team can't get right. Listen, before you jump on the Jets bandwagon, you better answer this question. Who's coaching these players? Who's developing these players? Number one. Number two, I know they have a lot of draft capital and they have a lot of cap space in 2021. So they're going to sell hope to everybody in northern New Jersey and the New York metropolitan area. They're selling hope all over the place. The Bears got a lot of things going on for them in a positive way. I cannot defend the offense in any way, shape, or form. But the number one thing that's wrong with their offense is the position that you played, offensive line. And you know you can't do anything without an offensive line up there. I don't care who's calling the plays because they're terrible. Well, let me finish.
Well, hold on.
The
Luke,
fact that you picked the Jets over the Chicago Bears. Forget that. Hold on.
Let me ask you a question. Even when the Bears had an offensive line, what in the hell did Matt Nagy do at the quarterback position? Let me know something. Okay, he had an offensive line before.
When they had an offensive line?
Has Mitchell Trubisky ever been in?
When they had an offensive line, they won the division.
He's supposed to be the guy developing the quarterback.
They won the division. Didn't draft Mitch Trubisky. They won the division, and he didn't draft Mitch Trubisky.
There's nothing I want to do.
Okay, so what? You can't. Some things you just can't look.
There's nothing I want to do less than interrupt this, but I did get applause, so anyway. I can do it. I can sneak it in. We'll leave it there. We'll put these guys in their separate corners. Dominique and I will continue to drink our drinks and enjoy the show. We will take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment with much more coming up, including Kyler Murray saying he misses baseball. Is it possible he's the next Dion or Bo? We're going to have some disagreement on the conversations on the way, and it'll continue to be heated as we get up with you on ESPN. Drink your water, Lewis.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
When the fate of a season rests on one game, anything is possible.
The Tennessee Titans have shocked the world.
Underdogs prevail. Expectations crumble. But while success is the ultimate goal, failure is a fuel unlike any other. It burns for redemption.
I really don't care about what people expect. You know, I expect to go out there and produce and win games.
But those who were victorious hold the confidence to strike again.
We know we're going to have to scratch and claw and fight.
This weekend, Ravens, Titans, revenge. A banner year last year for Lamar Jackson, MVP. Turned into that terrible playoff loss to the Titans. And since then, despite double the amount of losses in fewer games and a QBR down 20 points and less accurate passing, completion percentage down, interceptions up, everything seems to be going in the wrong direction for Lamar Jackson since that moment. And it has been a week of people on this show basically writing off the Ravens. But Dominique Foxworth, you told me this morning you're not one of them. Why?
I mean, I think it's a long shot that they'll win the Super Bowl this year, but I think that their system is good. There's nothing wrong with the system, and there's nothing wrong with the quarterback. Like, their system has answers to all the things that defenses present. But last year, they were healthy, remarkably healthy, and things went their direction. This year, the opposite is happening. Like, you look at this offensive line, this is their offensive line and tight end situation. This offense is predicated on good offensive line play and 2 and 3 tight end sets creating run-pass conflicts for the linebackers. They don't have any anymore. Like, it is a real problem. And the fact that they're 6-4 at this situation is a credit to their coaching staff and a credit to that defense. But I don't think that we should write off this team going forward. They're in a tough situation right now. But to be 6-4 right now, considering all the bad fortune they've had, I think is probably a pretty good accomplishment.
In fact, 6-3 actually is the record, but your point remains, and it's a good one. So, Damian Woody, let me come to you. That's one of the few people I've heard take that side of this conversation this week. D. Wood, what do you think?
Well, I think, listen, when you talk about the Baltimore Ravens, the difference between last year and this year, obviously you talk about the injuries, but they were able to dictate the terms. Rarely did you see the Baltimore Ravens playing from behind. They were always playing from ahead, and when you're playing from ahead, guess what? You have the whole playbook at your disposal. You know, now we're seeing teams are not able to run the ball as effectively, which affects the passing game, play-action passing game. And we've clearly seen this year, when they have to play from behind, they're a totally different ball club, okay? So they can't run the ball like they were last year, and they don't have the weapons, particularly outside the numbers, that can help Lamar Jackson, especially with the explosive plays in the passing game. So when you add it all up, this is a different Baltimore Ravens team than we saw from last year.
Lewis, that really is the question here. Do you believe that for them to take the step forward next season, they need to get a dynamic weapon outside the numbers for Lamar Jackson to continue his development as a passer and to be a little more multidimensional?
100%. 100%, that's the number one thing they're going to have to do on top of getting healthy again, because as Dominique and Woody have pointed out, look, they aren't as strong up front running the football. They don't have the same kind of mentality coming off the line of scrimmage and setting the tone in the running game. But there's no doubt that once it turns into one of those types of games where they can't play true to who they are, which is run the football, get the lead, and then just bludgeon you as the game goes on. Once they can't do that and they have to throw the football, they get exposed because they don't have that weapon on the outside. They have already beaten the bushes as far as trying to get Lamar, a guy who he knows he can go to in gotta-have-it situations, but they haven't been able to fulfill that need thus far. And they're not going to be able to fulfill it this year. And they're not going to be able to get guys healthy enough in time in order to make that run again and really reestablish who they are. Some of these guys aren't going to come back. The loss of Nick Boyle is just devastating. Devastating. The best blocking tight end in the NFL. The guy who led them to everything that they accomplished as far as the running game is concerned as a lead blocker. That's devastating for them. They're going to have to go to work in the offseason in 2021. Eric DaCosta has his work cut out for him, and they're going to have to see what they can do for the rest of this season.
There are some questions, both short-term and long, in Baltimore. Meanwhile, of all the things anyone said yesterday, let's get to the one I found the most interesting. Let's talk about two sport stars, okay? Let's reminisce, shall we? There was nothing more fun than watching Bo Jackson play football, except maybe watching Bo Jackson play baseball. Maybe the greatest of the two sport stars in recent years. And then, of course, Deion Sanders won back-to-back Super Bowls in the NFL and was among Major League Baseball's leaders in triples and steals. So another two sport star, Kyler Murray, you remember, first overall pick in the NFL. A year earlier, he was the ninth overall pick by the Oakland A's. And yesterday, listen to what he was saying about baseball.
If I would have chose baseball, I think I would have been missing the hell out of football a lot more. But now for me, I wish I could do both. I definitely feel like I could. You know, I never say never, but as of right now, man, I'm having fun doing what I love.
So he says that, and of course everybody loses that right there. Like, I see the look on your face, Dominique Foxworth. You love it, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, that was a heat check moment for him. He's feeling really good about himself. But when you really think about it, if he really wants to do it, who's going to say no? You think Major League Baseball is going to say no to having a star like that and the attention that it would bring? Or do you think the Cardinals are going to be like, nah, our first real homegrown franchise quarterback that we ever have, nah, we're not going to let you do what you want to do. Yes, Mr. Greenberg, what do you have to say?
I'm going
to
say no. You cannot play quarterback in the National Football League and play in the majors at the same time. Bo Jackson would show up to Oakland in October. You think you're going to have an NFL team where your quarterback is going to miss all of the summer and all of the preseason and the first 6 weeks of the season, then show up and be your quarterback? That's not an option.
And we also thought having a 5'7 quarterback in the NFL was also impossible. So I'm not saying that I'm not saying that he's going to succeed at it. I'm saying that nobody can stop him. Who's going to stop him? Are the Cards going to put their foot down and say, no, we don't want a franchise quarterback who wants to play baseball? Or is MLB going to say, no, we don't want that attention? Everyone is at his, whatever he wants to do is what's going to happen. If he decides he wants to play baseball, I guarantee you no one's going to stop him from doing it.
Shefty, talk some sense into this, man.
Well, at some point, Kyler Murray is going to be up for a huge second contract, and we've seen the numbers going around for quarterbacks. And I guarantee you when they do that deal, there's going to be language in there that stipulates that he stick to football or that he forfeits certain money if he goes to play baseball. And again, it would be awesome to see. We'd love to see guys do something like that. He's good enough to do it. He's talented enough to do it. But I don't think it's practical in the world of the Arizona Cardinals. Nick is saying it works for baseball. Yes. It works for Kyler Murray. Yes. It does not work for the Arizona Cardinals. And I think that they will have something to say about that in the future when they sit down to do that next contract, which will be a record-breaking deal.
Let's just do a little dramatic reenactment here. All right, Lewis Riddick, you're the general manager of the team, and I'm Kyler Murray. And I walk in and I say, hey, I've got an idea. Next year, I'm going to go play baseball, and then I'll come here and I'll start playing for you guys again in October. Lewis, how does that conversation go?
Can I be Kyler Murray in this situation?
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
No.
All right. Cut me then. Now what?
No.
I'm not going to do that either. You either let me do what I want to do, or you let me go. Like
It's not going to go like that. It's not going to go to where you're just going to let him do what he wants to do. You're going to take care of the young man. You're going to talk to him about the fact that, look, he has a chance to be a position redefining type of player. You are probably going to then feel as though he's got you where he wants you in terms of negotiating leverage. But you know what? That's the way it goes, right? That's the way it goes when you have a position redefining type of quarterback. You know that you're going to have to allocate a ridiculous amount of money from the salary cap towards his salary. So you make it very much so a situation where he understands that not only is he going to get paid, but he has a chance to be one of the best of all time and redefine how people look at quarterbacks. Yeah. And I think eventually he'll be like, look, I can't do both of these things, although it would be nice. Right. And then everybody's happy. But at first, I'm taking a drink and I'm going.
I don't disagree with any of you. All I'm saying is no one can stop him if that's what he wants to do. If he
Let me also say this. They've already been down this road, both sides, Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. They had these conversations leading up to him becoming the number one overall selection.
And I will just button it up by saying, so let it be written that on this day, we turned drinking a beverage into a passive-aggressive move. As we continue here in just a moment, coming up, not again, the latest on Klay Thompson. There's an injury, and it could be serious. Woj and Jay Will with the latest next.
Come on, get up. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.